Welcome to episode 251 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There are some links on the show page today with more information, and you can find those by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. That's a nice pause. That'll let the music fade out. A lot of times I have to add like a second of silence because you're just on top of it.
Yeah. That's one way of putting it. Because you're so noisy.
Noise. So on Monday, you said I said the show was going to be about the formation of our solar system.
Yeah.
And yeah, haven't we done that before? And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be so cruelly
that's
mocking.
Right. that's
what I thought about it, and you know what? I think I actually have said that we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. On several episodes in a row, it keeps taking all this setup to get there.
Well, okay.
Because, like, the universe happened, and then it was 9 billion years of stuff. Right?
Took a minute, yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, let's talk about some atomic basics.
Okay.
You are made of atoms.
I certainly am.
So are buddies and bowling balls and bananas.
Matter.
Yes. Atoms are made of electrons, mm-hmm. sort of swimming around in a cloud around a nucleus.
Yes.
The nucleus is where the protons and neutrons live, which have most of the mass.
Yeah.
Almost all of it. I'm sorry. I'm cutting you off all over the place and feeling bad about it today,
even
though it's like my show.
What's happening right now? Stop it. Who is my wife? Where's my brother? Feeling bad about it. I was going to say atomic number. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'll get to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. Protons and neutrons. There they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've heard of electricity.
I certainly have heard of electricity. That was hard to say. Okay.
And you can have a positive or negative charge with electricity. And like charges repel one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, protons all have the same charge. They all have a positive charge.
Heck yeah.
That's what makes the electron cloud hang around, because yeah. that's negatively charged, and it wants to get with it.
Everybody wants to be hip.
Yeah. This is all being mitigated by the electromagnetic force.
Which is
pretty much the trading of photons.
Uh-huh.
That's how all of that happens.
Neat.
What's a photon? Well, it's a chunk of electromagnetic energy.
Oh, good.
That whizzes around as fast as it can through the given medium.
Okay.
Including through the vacuum when it's moving at the speed of light. Because, well, that's what a photon is. It's a bit of light.
Just a bit.
But if you're ever holding a couple of refrigerator magnets and they're trying to pull towards each other,
mm-hmm.
they're doing that because they're trading photons.
What? Really?
Yeah, really.
Cool! All right.
You're excited about this?
Well, they measure magnetic forces with their own measurement and... But I never knew what was actually happening. So
yes.
That was a glimmer.
Generally speaking, if you are a charged particle, when you move, you make photons. And if you get hit by a photon. Futon.
Yeah, I am one of those.
A big puffy particle of light, you will move. I was reading about electron matrix before, except the narrator mispronounced it and kept talking about electron mattresses. So I guess that's the futon.
Perfect.
That this beginning is taking an inordinate amount of time. This is going to be a 30-minute episode. Our intro was fun. What was I talking about? All right. So the protons would like to move away from each other.
Okay.
Very quickly. They go, this is awful.
Yeah, buddied up. Yeah.
But they are stuck together by the strong nuclear force.
Aha.
If you can get a couple of charged particles, like protons, together and let them be close enough for long enough, mm-hmm. the strong nuclear force can take over.
Oh.
And then they will not separate again, barring some sort of catastrophe.
Nuclear bombs. Suns. Suns are catastrophic? Sure. Wait. That's sticking things together.
You did.
Nuclear bombs.
But it's true for lithium. Lithium won't survive in a sun.
Okay.
So you were right.
I just didn't know it.
Yeah. Story of your life, pretty much. Well, I got over that whole feeling bad thing.
Yay! All right.
So, our sun
okay.
is very hot and very dense, especially at the very core of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
So protons are whizzing around. I mean, it's too hot and dense for the electrons to be able to hang around with the protons.
Oh.
And we are talking about the simplest atom of them all, hydrogen, mm-hmm. which consists of one proton and one electron.
Yeah, yeah.
Other chemical elements have different numbers of protons,
mm-hmm.
which determines how many electrons are going to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
That, coupled with their mass, mm-hmm. determines their chemical properties.
Cool.
There, I managed to squeeze in all the basics. But anyway, the core of our sun, they're whizzing around at something like 200 miles an hour.
Oh, okay.
And having over a billion collisions per second.
Okay.
You'd think, hey, that should be enough to overcome the positive charges and let them get together.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But it's not.
Oh.
Not classically.
Hmm.
Okay, so what happens is a phenomenon called quantum tunneling.
Hey.
Which is one of the things we talked about on Monday. All right, Monday it is.
It is.
Good times. Monday. All right, so this one episode is about the formation of our solar system-ish, sort of, kind of.
Okay. Wait, we did some of that, didn't we?
No.
We were talking about hydrogen and shit. And stuff.
The magic of editing. Don't worry about it. Everything will be fine. Okay. Yeah, we did talk about how back in the day, after there's like the Big Bang nucleosynthesis, which is when the hydrogen, helium, and lithium got created.
Right.
And then there was the slow burn.
Okay.
Millions of years, or hundreds of million years, to make everything else.
Okay.
At this point. Right? I haven't really done the research. All I got left is things I vaguely remember.
But we know what it's about.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm going to go towards the historical side or if there's going to be some interesting phenomenological stuff to talk about. Stuff. But I have a vague memory. They had the theory that fusion was powering the sun.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And somebody did the math, and it was like, how is a couple of the protons going to get anywhere close to each other for anywhere long enough to actually fuse?
Do you have a roundabout date when this is happening? Like,
no, at the moment, no, I don't.
20th century?
Earlier, later, later, earlier. Well, we didn't even know about radioactivity until the 20th century. So.
Okay, I'm not crazy. All right.
And, well...
okay, right.
At least not about this. And this guy came up with this notion. He called it quantum tunneling.
Ooh.
This idea that a particle could sometimes just go bloop and be on the other side of a barrier.
Ooh.
And that was entirely to save the theory of nuclear fusion powering the sun. And people were skeptical.
Yeah.
Are they going to make up this phenomenon and say it powers our sun? But there is such a thing as quantum tunneling. I mean, we couldn't record without it. It's absolutely vital to that integrated circuit design thing.
I had no idea. Okay.
Integrated circuit. Microchips. Computer chips. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Dorg report.
Oh, hey.
Doo-doo-doo. They can see now.
Thank
you. I mean, they could see sort of. Okay. Let's go with the one that is not ambiguous. They can feel.
Oh, yes.
It took me about 15 minutes, and I gave them a crude sense of touch. They can tell whether or not they're up against something and which side of their, you know, four-sided little square bodies is being touched.
Ooh. Well, I see. Key the saxophone.
They've had vision for a while, but all they could see was the target.
Right, right.
They couldn't see themselves, which wasn't a big deal when they all could all walk across each other and they were actually each individually in their realm all by themselves,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the videos look like.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, if you'd like to see the Dorg videos, you can go to thelabwithbrad.com and click on videos.
Mm-hmm.
Da-da-da!
.com is spelled out. That's important.
No, that's the YouTube channel.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Don't see? No,
sorry,
you're
confusing everything.
Go to the lab with Brad. .period.com slash underscore.
Period. Nobody knows what's going on. Anyway.
All right. Where the hell are we? Well, I was talking about things. Oh, yeah. Sense of touch.
Okay.
They've been able to see the target forever.
Right.
And then I change them so that they pile up on top of each other. They get in each other's way. So now they need to be able to see each other.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, I've been dreading it. Sort of sweating. Oh, this is going to be so hard.
Yeah.
29 minutes.
Did you notice any noticeable slowdown? Like, because if they're tracking that many.
Oh, what? Like the part where I test whether or not what I did is actually working?
Uh-huh.
No, I haven't even done that yet.
Oh. I haven't noticed anything for so many.
I've got the ability. Testing comes later. Maybe more videos coming.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Okay.
What else we got? We got anything else? Or we feel pretty good about this? I feel pretty good.
Okay. We're done, right?
Yeah, we're done. So I looked up tunneling again, right? Yeah. And the little historical anecdote I gave you?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Well, you know, that's what we do.
That's what
we eventually get it right.
Actually looking at radioactive decay.
Mm-hmm.
A particular kind of that called alpha decay. Let's not get into that too far.
Okay.
Also, radioactivity was discovered at the very tail end of the 19th century.
Oh.
Ernest Rutherford. And then Marie Curie comes along and showed that every radioactive element is slowly changing into a different element.
Huh.
And energy associated with that, we didn't get that until Einstein in 1905 with his E equals MC squared thingamabob.
Okay.
So there's a brief history.
Yeah. Bikini Island, Manhattan Project, I have become death.
Wow. Okay, so let's go back even further.
Okay.
We were talking about the very early universe in our last episode, and you asked about quasars.
I did.
So I checked. Way back when, dark matter was especially important. Mm. Galaxies were forming. Mm-hmm. So were supermassive black holes.
Ooh-hoo.
Living at the center of these newly formed galaxies.
Yeah.
Took a while, though. But eventually, those supermassive black holes were eating huge amounts of gas.
Oh, hey.
And that's when they start to shine brighter than anything else in the universe.
It's a black hole shining. Okay.
It's a black hole. Just pig it out. No. Incidentally, I mean, our galaxy and Andromeda Galaxy are headed towards each other. And so our supermassive black hole in the middle of our galaxy might start eating tons of gas and dust again and sterilize the galaxy.
What do we do?
I promise it won't happen till next week. So,
we'll at least get one more episode out.
You're killing me. Well, yeah, they did the gravitational lensing trick again and found one that's about a billion years after the Big Bang, a little less than that.
Uh-huh.
And that's the earliest quasar they've seen so far.
Okay.
At least according to the articles I've seen.
Cool.
One of the things they mentioned in passing is that it's shooting off something like 10,000 new stars a day.
What?
Yeah.
In passing.
But I can see this as far as this is a massive amount of energy pouring out and cause compression waves through the dust and gas that the galaxy is made of.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Okay.
Back to tunneling.
Important. All right. We're there.
Quantum physics.
Yeah.
We don't really have particles anymore.
We don't need them.
We have a probability distribution of where a particle might be if there were such things as particles.
Hence the electron cloud.
Yeah, yeah. I did that on purpose.
Yeah.
So the heat and pressure of the sun is not enough to overcome the repulsion of the same charges directly.
Mm-hmm.
But does set them up so that their probability wave functions of the two protons overlap.
Yeah, that's what it does.
Yes, that's what it does. And it can, very briefly, form helium-2, as in two protons.
Boom.
But that will not stay together.
Okay.
It flies right back apart. Sometimes what happens, though, is one of the protons hits another proton. They overlap. And then the weak nuclear force comes in and flips a few quarks around.
Okay.
And turns one of them into a neutron.
Hey.
Now they're stuck together.
Oh, I didn't know neutrons were glue. I thought they were boring.
And, yeah, we're going to get there, too.
Okay.
At this point, what we have is an isotope of hydrogen. Isotope.
Okay.
Ah. Isotope means you have a different number of neutrons, mm-hmm. essentially, within the same chemical element.
Cool.
And usually it doesn't make that much a difference in the chemical properties, but between hydrogen and deuterium, mm-hmm. right, with mm-hmm. and without that extra neutron, that's double the weight.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, so it does change things like the boiling point and the solubility, permeability across membranes.
No, wait. Hydrogen's lighter than air.
Yes.
What was that other one you mentioned?
Deuterium, also still lighter than air.
Okay, well.
But if you, for example, drank that all day instead of regular water, it would kill you.
Okay.
Not recommended. Okay. Don't stare at the sun either. We're just a font of safety tips.
We're here to tell you things that you should know.
Yeah, anyway, rigmarole happens, right?
Right.
I don't want to go through the whole proton-proton chain, but the end result is you get helium. Helium-4, the most stable isotope of anything in the whole universe. 2 protons, 2 neutrons.
Okay.
Like you were saying, neutrons in the nucleus seem to help stabilize it.
See there. I was right before I knew it. Before we were there.
I was right before I was there.
Okay. Anyways.
But you can't have too many neutrons, right? It isn't as simple as just glue. You take carbon, for example.
Okay.
6 protons, 6 neutrons. Carbon, 12. The usual.
Okay.
But if you have a couple of extra neutrons in there, carbon 14,
okay.
It decays.
Oh.
It's unstable. It turns into nitrogen.
So this is why uranium, 234?
234, 235, 239. I don't think there is actually a stable isotope of uranium. They all decay.
The one they want for bombs.
For bombs, 235.
Because it's more unstable?
Yep.
Oh, wait, no, that makes sense. Okay.
Right. They actually need it for municipal power as well.
Okay.
But what they do is they call it enriching it. They get more uranium-235 as compared to 238 in the given sample. And about 10% enrichment, whatever that actually means, and you can run a power plant with it.
Yay.
Bomb-grade stuff has to be something like 97% U-235. This is much harder to do. And this is off topic entirely. Where were we and why are we here now?
There was quarks and then there was helium. Quarks.
Right. So all this fusion is happening, right?
Yay.
It's turning hydrogen into helium. I forget what's next. I think oxygen, maybe carbon.
Mm-hmm.
The process goes on. The most energy release is going from 4 protons to a single nucleus of helium.
Okay.
After that, you keep getting heavier and heavier elements, meaning there's more protons and neutrons in the nucleus.
Mm-hmm.
But the energy released is less and less.
Okay.
So you get up to around silicon and or iron.
Ooh.
Where adding anything else takes energy instead of giving it.
So we don't have suns that make silicon and iron?
I think, yes, you get silicon and or iron. But that's the last one.
Okay.
And those have to be pretty herkin huge suns. So all the stars spit stuff out over their lifetime, right? The solar wind, our star is doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then there's a flare that breaks off of the sun and you get an extra big chunk of stuff floating out.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got stars that are dying. Some of them do it with a whimper. Some of them do it with a bang. The ones that whimper will send off giant shells of their gas and form what we call planetary nebula. This is one of those astronomical terms that they go out of their way to be confusing.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with planets. When you look at it through the telescope, it looks vaguely like a planet.
Oh, okay. But evenly distributed sphere of energy, nothing to write home about.
I guess it counts as energy equals MC squared. Mm. Gas and dust.
Okay.
Right. And then so you can end up with just a white dwarf, right?
Okay.
And this is pretty dense stuff. And that's where our sun is headed.
Okay.
And then you can also end up with a neutron star, even denser. And all the protons and electrons at that point have been forced together, and everything has turned into neutrons.
Wow. Hence the name. I get it.
Okay. The neutron star. Yes. After that, you get black holes.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Yeah. At the end of the life, when we're getting to things like neutron stars or black holes, mm-hmm. that is ending with a bang. Supernovas.
Oh, hey.
These are suddenly the star is the brightest thing in the galaxy. Mm-hmm. Assuming it's not a quasar.
Okay.
And that lasts for several days. Hmm. It's not like in the movies where it's going to go supernova. Oh, thank God we outran it. No, no, you didn't.
Okay. Gotcha.
So all of this is all well and good, mm-hmm. but there's a problem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like how long the episode is?
That too. The heaviest elements.
Right.
You start needing more and more neutrons to be stable.
Okay.
Gold.
Hey, how about it?
Has 79 protons.
Okay.
118 neutrons.
What? Okay.
Yeah. So they're not sure if supernova are strong enough to make gold.
Wait.
And even if they have enough energy, you just sort of need lots and lots of neutrons hanging around while this is happening.
Okay.
So, where do these heavy elements come from if supernova aren't enough to make them? We're talking like gold, silver, lead, uranium.
Yeah. Yeah, which we have here. Which,
yes, we do.
And it came from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. The current thinking is that it's caused when two neutron stars merge.
Merge. That's a nice way of saying it. Are they smacking into each other? Are they just like shaking hands and...
Oh, there's nothing gentle about this. These are masses larger than our sun.
Okay.
Spinning around each other at like hundreds and thousands of times a second.
Ooh.
This actually causes ripples, gravity waves flow out of this disaster.
Okay.
And then they finally merge in a fiery explosion.
And now you get
that kicks out a lot of energy and a lot of free neutrons.
Hey, those are important.
Yeah. So now we can get things like uranium, by the way, has 92 protons and 146 neutrons, and it's still not stable.
They gave it a good try.
So our little patch of gas and dust mm-hmm. that eventually became us. The thought is that first we just sort of gathered together from how stars spit stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe some gas that was just lying around and handy. But on our way to where we live now, perhaps even while the sun was already beginning to collapse,
mm-hmm.
we got sprayed by one of these neutron star explosions. Because we actually do have more than average heavy metal in our solar system.
Yeah, we mine the stuff. I mean... Yeah, I was just watching a show, and the guy was getting gold, and I was going to interrupt your episode, you poor guy, to ask you where the gold came from, but then I thought better of it.
Well, we got that
coming. Here we are anyways.
Right, so at last, the stage is set.
Okay.
And we can get to the formation of our solar system next time. See you then.
Bye.